Good evening. I'd like to open, let's call our meeting to order. It's at 6:31. And would you please do a roll call?
Commissioner Volbada.
Present.
Commissioner Weiss. Commissioner Langston.
Present.
Commissioner Labonte.
Present.
Commissioner Pat Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Mercero.
I'm here.
Chair Smith.
Present. Okay, let's do our flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay, on our consent agenda, we have first item is approval of August 15th meeting minutes, and then we will have our regular agenda. Item number two will be our monthly planning report, September and October. And number three will be public hearing for DR-23-06, construction of a new 7,458 square foot warehouse storage building with no proposed off-street parking or exterior storage. And it's located on 6075 Dunaway Avenue. And then if there's any business from the public or business from the Planning Commission. So let's go to... Do I have a motion for approving our meeting minutes, please?
So moved. A second.
Okay. Commissioner Pat Smith made the motion and Langston seconded it. Can we do a roll call vote, please, Tammy?
Commissioner Volbada.
Yes.
Commissioner Langston.
Yes.
Commissioner Labonte.
Yes.
Commissioner Pat Smith.
Yes.
Commissioner Mercero.
Yes.
Chair Smith.
Yes. Meeting minutes approved. Okay, item number two, our monthly planning report. Heather?
Yes, thank you. There are two planning reports for you since we didn't have agenda items for you in September. So we have September and August in the packet for you this evening. Business was pretty steady as far as customer service contacts. We did look at a sign permit for the subway location. They're changing out the sign for a new branding strategy through Subway International, I guess. and we tried to expand the descriptions of the building permits that we reviewed just so that that'd be more clear what we were looking at there. Are there any questions?
Is that for just one of the subway locations in Gladstone or both?
Just the one on, I think I have the...
Is it the one on McLaughlin or the one that's...
Not on McLaughlin.
Okay, so it's the other one off of...
It's a college, I think.
Princeton? I want to say Princeton.
I think it's Princeton.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Do any commissioners have any questions? Okay. If there's no further, I'm going to go ahead and open our public hearing at 6:35. This public hearing is now open for the consideration of, let me go back to, here just a second. Consideration of DR-23-06, construction of a new 7,458 square foot warehouse storage building. The procedure we would like to follow tonight is the planning department report, applicant testimony, proponent testimony, opponent testimony, applicant rebuttal, possible decision to continue to close the hearing, and any planning commission discussion and or decision. Now, does any commissioner member wish to disqualify themselves for any personal or financial interest in this matter before us tonight? Or does any commissioner wish to report any significant ex parte or pre-hearing contacts? Commissioners? Start with Jennifer.
No ex parte contact. I'm happy to proceed.
Okay, have you viewed the site?
I sure have.
Okay, great. Commissioner Langston.
No ex parte contact, and just drove by it on my way in.
Commissioner Smith.
I've driven by it multiple times and had no conflicts, personal nature.
Commissioner Labonte.
No conflicts, and yeah, very familiar with the site.
Okay. Commissioner Mercero.
I have no conflicts, and I've viewed the site in the past, but I haven't recently.
Okay, thank you. Does any member of the audience wish to challenge the right of any commission member to hear this matter? Is there any member of the audience who wishes to question the jurisdiction of this body to act on behalf of the City Council on this matter? Oregon land use laws require that all issues be raised if the issues are to be appealed. Failure to raise the issues at this hearing may invalidate their further appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA. Any party has the right to request a continuance to this hearing or in the alternative to have the record left open for 7 days. Failure to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the commission to respond to the issue will precede an action for damages in circuit court. If you are going to testify, please try to address the applicable criteria. Will the staff please present the report?
Yes, thank you. We have a short PowerPoint we're going to queue up here for you. Okay. So this evening's design review application is for a warehouse building for the fire restoration company at 6075 Dunaway Avenue, just across the street from where we sit this evening. On the screen is a picture of the site, something new. Here is the submitted utility plan, which you can't make out from there, but just a rough idea of what's being proposed. We'll get into some details in a moment. The proposal is approximately 7,500 square foot warehouse storage building. There is no proposed off-street parking or exterior storage. And as we've talked about in the past, there's no requirement anymore to provide that off-street parking. The project is zoned light industrial. It's about a half acre in size. It doesn't fall within the floodplain or any of our environmental overlays in the city. We sent notice to the applicant owner of the site, as well as property owners and residents within 250 feet, as well as the agencies listed there. We did receive comments back from City of Gladstone, Public Works and Engineering, but none of the other agencies provided return comments. The current zoning map is shown on the map, shown on the screen. The star is on the subject site. Again, right across the street from where we sit now, all of the zoning in the immediate vicinity is light industrial. Across Portland Avenue is our 7.2 single household residential, but it is separated from the proposed development by the existing structure on the site. So there's no conflicts there as far as zoning goes. And this use is permitted outright in the light industrial zoning district. Yes.
Sorry. I noticed that is not a road, is it?
the one behind the bill
there, or is that a paper road, or is that something that
That's interesting. It's on the zoning map, so it's probably a platted road, but like you said, a paper road, okay. Not developed though.
Paper road.
Yeah. Okay. So Google Street View of the subject site, just to get an idea, on the far right is the existing residential structure that is on the same property. It's separated by fencing from where this development will occur. And the proposed building will back up but not touch the blank CMU wall building you see there in the image. So where the current tractor backs are would roughly be the asphalt paved area leading into the building. So here is that schematic again with a little bit more detail exposed. The purple line is the overall property line. the green box in the kind of northeast corner of the site is, southeast, is the existing home. The light blue is the proposed building. So it will be L-shaped, stuck toward the back of the site to level with that current building. The areas that are kind of orangish golden are the driveways that are proposed. Although you saw in the site, in the staff report, that the city's engineering and public works department needs to have further conversations with the applicant about the width of those driveways, because they're exceeding our standards. Both the 68 foot exceeds the width and the 10 foot spacing doesn't meet the minimum spacing between driveways. Stuck maybe. Let's see. Are you able to advance, Tammy? Thank you. So the proposed elevations for the buildings are shown here. The north elevation at the top is the side that would face the CMU wall. So blank for blank made sense there. The south elevation has three drive-up doors, three man doors, as well as a man door on the far left where potential office space would occur. The staff report goes into some detail about a few requirements that the code has as far as allowing in natural light and airflow, as well as if this building's proposed for metal. I couldn't find that indicated on the plans, that that would need to be specifically permitted by the Planning Commission. Ooh, that's working. So with that, the staff does recommend that this design review be approved. We found that the conditions could be applied to make this proposal meet the development code. There's space on the site for the landscaping that's required. The issues with the driveways are addressable with the Public Works Department. We know that there's space to meet the garbage and recycling standards. The one item that staff would not be able to meet with the applicant and decide on is metal, as metal siding is specifically needing to be approved by this body. So if that were to come up later, we would have to say, no, that's not available. But otherwise, we think all of these conditions can be met by the applicant as far as submitting updated plans and narrative. And then the engineering and Public Works Department had a request for conditions regarding public improvements, right-of-way dedication, and 8-foot public utility easements along all street frontages. So with that, staff does recommend approval of this application, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I know the applicant has some information for you as well.
Commissioners, any questions?
No, could we hold at least me hold questions until everybody's done?
That sounds great to me.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Is the applicant present? Would you like to come forward and add anything additional to the staff report?
Yes, but I'm with
architect helping. Okay, that'll be fine. Please give your names and address for the record.
Gregory Scott Philo.
You want to make sure you turn on the microphone and speak into the microphone, sir.
Just push the button.
The button?
Oh, there you go. Sorry.
Gregory Scott Philo, 20252 South Jason Drive, Oregon City, Oregon.
Thank you, Mr. Philo.
Raphael Goodblatt, I'm the architect, and my address is 6663 Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway, okay. Portland, Oregon.
Thank you very much. So what do you have to add to the staff report?
You go first, because you've been in on it, then I'm going to fill in around you.
This is a new experience for me.
Can you?
This is a new experience for me, so I would appreciate if you'd help walk me through this. A little bit about myself, if that matters. I have the building down on Gloucester and Portland Avenue, restoration. I also was on the fire department for 20 years in Gladstone, and I designed the fire station facade that you see there now. So as a businessman and an investor, I am particularly interested in investing in Gladstone heavily. But when I purchased this lot, it came with challenges. It's a very narrow lot front to back. Excuse me, I have a cold.
Okay.
It's a very narrow lot front to back, and so it creates a lot of design challenges. As an investor, when I went to spend the money to buy this property, I did my due diligence that I thought I could do with the city and the county to find out what would be required. And I knew that street improvements were required. The fire department, Sean Olson, was very helpful in determining that I did not need sprinklers, because that's like a game changer for me. But as far as the city went, I really didn't get any answers. And the only thing I really did find out is it does say somewhere that a metal building is allowed in that area. So I had to make a decision, and I ended up purchasing the land, hoping from all indications that it looks like it was a doable project for me. So here we are now, and we're trying very hard to design this building around, number one, what I could afford, and number two, this strange size lot. I would like to help improve the look at Gladstone, because that lot right now is a complete eyesore. Plus, it will help my business as it stands. So I'm asking for a little bit of, and the city's already said this to me, that they would like to work with me to make this happen. Some of the unknowns that we have right now, like the power pole on the corner, the issue that came up with the sidewalks, and the landscaping in particular, are some things that we should have an opportunity to sit down with the city and hash through and pin down some of these answers. For example, the power pole right now, the city's response is kind of a maybe, if you will. Well, if we have to move that power pole, that makes the job unfeasible.
Because it's two power poles, right? It would be all the electrical.
It's mostly one on the corner that would really.
Right.
So I guess the power pole, the parking lot approaches, is that what we're calling them? Mm-hmm. And the landscaping are issues that could make this a non-feasible project. And so I would like to officially ask for a continuation at a later date. But if it's within the rules of order, I would like to have a discussion so that I can answer all the potential questions, so that when we do this next time, everybody's more prepared, especially us. And I say that with all due respect.
I'm assuming that you've already had a conversation with our city planner, Heather.
I did.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So that you guys can sit down and fine tune things more. I'm happy to see that you want to, I'm speaking not as a body, but for myself, that I think it's great that you're wanting to continue your investment in the city of Gladstone. So I'm sure we can work out something, or I hope we can. In regards to metal buildings, I have been on the Planning Commission for a while now, and I know we've approved, I believe it is two, for the whole large complex there for the church. And they had a specific type that had texture on it that you might want to go up and take a look at it, because it did go before us and we reviewed it and we did accept it. I don't know if you've looked at any of their, there's a couple of buildings there.
Can I interject right here?
Okay.
So a little history here. When I did buy the building and I started the planning part of this with the architect, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call from Locke Buildings as my building supplier. And because of the economy, there was an approaching price increase that was substantial. Mm-hmm. So we had roughly gotten the, you know, behind the door okay from the city that the size was going to be fine, et cetera. And so there was a $60,000 swing in material. And so I went ahead and purchased all the steel. It's actually sitting in the lot right now.
Okay.
So I did bring colors because I have a pretty good design eye. And I wouldn't.
The old elections office looks beautiful. So, yes. Okay.
So I am planning on doing a two-tone, darker gray and black kind of building with exposed timber frame entryway. That's like curved timber roof over the entryway. So it will be a very attractive building.
Okay.
But the problem is I have purchased the steel, and I know that's on me, but it's just some information for you on this subject. And so the subject of steel not being approved was a new item for me recently. It was one of the original things. Of all the questions I asked the city, there is a paragraph somewhere that says that a steel, metal frame building, metal siding building is allowable in this area.
It just has to be reviewed by the planning commission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a sample of it with you or just the colors?
I brought the two colors.
Okay. We might want to.
I have a couple pictures I downloaded off the internet that are give you a good idea.
Okay.
I didn't bring 12 copies, but I have this if you want to see it.
Do any planning commissioners have any questions?
You said you bought the steel, like steel framing, or also the metal, like exterior?
I bought all the metal exterior siding and roofing.
Gotcha.
I actually purchased the lumber too, but that's lumber can be repurposed. The steel isn't; it's custom cut for each building.
Okay. So basically, Commissioner Langston, do you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. I think looking at the report, I think they've laid it out very clearly. You know, it's not that things absolutely won't be accepted. You just have to go through the process of,
sure,
you know, filing that, the formal paperwork, asking for an exception or whatnot, and then it'll come back in front of us, and we'll be able to review that application.
When you spend a couple $100,000 and you
and
you see something pop up, it kind of gives you this pucker factor.
Sure.
it's panic.
It's all process, you know. We've been able to work with people in the past, you know. Obviously we can't sit here and tell you for sure, you know, like we just need to see your application and we'll work with you.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess for those of you that are, you know, more in the building field. Would the type, is there certain classifications of metal siding that would need to be approved necessarily where it's already been purchased? And I'm sure it's all above board and good to go and appropriate, but I'm just wondering what the city's role is in like saying, okay, this is the proper. Is that something that, to my question, particular metals in siding?
Yeah, I imagine he's going to use something that's pretty typical for that building type, you know. And so I'd be surprised if he came up with some material that was just out of the ordinary. So I'm sure it's
perfect. That's something you guys.
It'll be probably something similar to the our building down the way here, the
new facility.
Yeah, the new facility building. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Commissioner Smith, do you have any questions?
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Filo.
Sure.
As I understand it, this is going to be an in-and-out warehouse for supplies and products that you use in your business.
Yes and no. What we do in restoration is after a house fire, my business now is to repair the structure itself. The other side of our business is contents. So couches, clothing, furniture, et cetera, that is the content side. That is something we don't do right now because we don't have a facility. Mm-hmm. Once I have a facility, that stuff will all get packed and cleaned and then brought over just to be stored until the house is rebuilt. And then we move it back into the house. Other companies around that do that, like ServPro, ServiceMaster kind of companies. So that's the main purpose of that building, is just to store people's contents.
Okay. So would you have any on-site employees?
Very few. They're in and out because all they're doing is really loading the building, a little bit of inventory. And so That's why those three doors are where they are, because we would just back in, unload, and then leave. So the building is really just a glorified storage building.
Okay. And what it sounded like. I think my last question is, there's a residence adjacent to your property.
Yes.
Is there anything being in the construction that will screen that house home off from having a direct look into your property, or is it just a small fence?
Are you talking about the manufactured home?
Yes.
That's my home. Property.
That's your home. Okay.
And that was put in by Ward Weaver's brother as a watchman's house.
Okay.
And I purchased it when I bought the whole property. And the idea was to someday expand that building down farther. But the nature of this lot, I'm getting the idea that that's just going to be really hard to do. But that building is just a temporary watchman's home, if you will.
Okay.
It's not going to stay forever.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Mercero, do you have any questions of the applicant?
I do not have any questions. It looks like a fairly typical storage type building, and looks attractive to me.
Well, thank you very much.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind. I don't know if I'm missing it. Do you have the exterior finish called out in any of your plans right now?
Just metal siding. It doesn't. We can add that if you want. We can list the colors.
That'd be nice. Thank you.
Okay, we can do that.
Also, before the next step, I'd like, if you could, to please bring up the picture and the colors, and we'll take a quick look and pass it down.
Right now?
Yes, please.
So,
is that all right?
Let me show you real quick here. There's the front one is one of the best representations of the color.
Okay.
And page 3 shows how the timber frame would incorporate in.
Wonderful.
At the entryway.
Okay.
So you can just look through these real fast.
Yeah. You can pass it to.
Thank you. The plan is a two-tone wainscot.
Remember, when you speak, please speak in the microphone so we get it on record.
The plan is a two-tone wainscot kind of look. At 4 feet down.
Okay.
I got my inspiration from an industrial park out in Estacada.
I know which one you're speaking of.
It's a very attractive complex, and every building in there is pole barn kind of construction with metal siding.
Well, I like that. Okay. Yeah, that looks nice. Okay. Jennifer's writing down the colors.
Yeah. This is my world.
Yeah. I like that.
Is it the S frame? Is the steel the S profile?
It's like the
square profile. Is it have the corrugation to it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like the SS. It's like flat with a like a hat channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually a lot like the pizza building right here, but mm-hmm. It won't be that canary yellow.
Sure. Yeah.
And it'll be two-tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, give it some more depth and not look like just a plain old warehouse. Okay. Okay. So this whole down to
And I saw this picture with is that kind of what the vibe is you're going for with the exposed timber at the front too? And
yes.
It does look really nice.
And that is the little L that pops out facing.
You can see where the dash is.
The dash line is the.
It's a little covered roof.
Overhang. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right there.
An awning, if you want to call it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Very expensive. I actually bought that timber too. Everything exponentially. There was a month period a year and a half ago. Everything exponentially jumped in price. It was insane.
Sure.
Yep.
It would have almost doubled the cost of the building.
Okay. Based on the fact that he wants, they're requesting a continuance, which I believe we're totally in agreement with, right? Or do we need to vote on that?
You don't need to vote on that. If we, you would vote to continue the hearing when you've finished discussing, and we'd want to give the public a chance if there's anybody in attendance.
Okay.
And then we'd want to request a extension of our 120-day clock for by the 60 days, so that we make sure we meet all of our requirements.
Okay. So unless there's any other questions, I'm going to move on to if there's any public testimony.
I have a few things to talk about, too.
Please move forward. Yeah, please go ahead.
So some of the issues that we're trying to get a handle on is the yellow of the driveway. Okay. And also there's a question about an easement, a utility easement that is being requested, and also a 10-foot planter strip all the way around the site. So I'd love to get your take on those three items. Greg, we tried to put everything on the table in terms of the design stuff based on what the business practice needed. And I know that's not always compliant, but it's kind of, I have to start somewhere. So that's why when you look at that wide drive aisle and wanting access in that way, it lines up right with those three doors.
Mm-hmm.
So Greg's looking for that wide drive aisle there. Okay. Then we need a smaller drive aisle for the house. Okay. So that's one item that we're going to be discussing, I would take with the public works people. And so I was curious about your input. And the second thing, like I said, is that easement, utility easement. Because the thing about utility easement is if you need utilities there, but we're requesting that our sidewalks work so we don't have to do any utility movement. And the easement would never be continuous anyway. So because the house is there, the other buildings are on the other end. So we're wondering about, is the easement really needed? Is the planter strip the 10? Because what you're at, what the discussion is basically 18 feet, right? Like a 10-foot strip plus an 8-foot easement. And they seem somewhat maybe not applicable here. So that's questions that we have. And from the civil engineer, he's very curious about the way he's designed the ADA walkway that goes over to the Civic Center and the ADA walkway that goes the other way. This was his best design, their best design for putting the sidewalk in, putting the ADA ramps in, and leaving the power poles where they are, knowing that moving the power poles is like Greg was saying, it's basically a killer deal because it's so expensive to move all that. So those are some of the overlapping insights I'm looking for that, like I said, we're going to be discussing this with
our city planner.
Right. But since we're asking for a continuance, but we're here talking, it's kind of like the more info I can get from you on everything, the better the drawings will be when we come back the next time. So my intent is to have as much conversation as possible about any of these items to help figure it out.
Okay.
In a good way. And then the other thing I want to do, I want to make sure that there's a Mark Bello, Dr. Mark Bello behind me. Mm-hmm. He's a planning consultant I use all the time on all my projects. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that he doesn't have any questions because he's kind of my brains and I do the drawing. So,
gotcha.
Okay, Mark. So, in case you have anything,
Mark, would you, if you want, you can come forward and speak? Thank
you. Yeah. You guys could probably pull up another chair if you like.
Yeah.
Mark Bello, 2146 Northeast 9th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97212.
Thank you.
So in addition to those issues that Rafe mentioned, I was particularly interested in how the screening would be expected to work between the part of the building that's behind, in other words, encompassed in a sense by the L, and if there are examples in the city where you might direct us. It's a little bit tight, that site, so it's unclear where vehicles might go. So we were also wondering basically if bollards are needed or something to restrict the loading area. Also, because of the definition of loading in the zoning code, I had read it that strangely where the trucks move into the building would not be considered loading because the trucks would never be actually moving goods in or out of a vehicle. Their driveway is not loading. And the other part to the west of where those driveways are might be considered parking. So I'm not raising these as assertions. I'm simply saying that's what we'd like to talk about to figure out where the landscaping, that 10-foot landscaping strip has to be. I think it's clear the 5-foot landscaping strip will be provided because there will be space and that's a rear and side property line. So that's sort of the example. And I want to bring it up now only if you could point to previous decisions you've made or other places in Gladstone that we should look at to try and understand how you've administered the, how the city has administered the code, what it really means. Obviously we want to make it as good as possible within perhaps some functional limits that we have, given the, I'll just say, strange circumstance of trying to fit the building already bought onto the site, but meet your aims as well. I'll just mention one last thing no one has mentioned, signage. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can talk about signage and we can talk about any kind of other issues relating to the house, because I'm not sure that anyone has ever talked about the house, but the big problem with that house is it doesn't work well with the proposed sidewalk width and utility easement.
Heather?
There's a lot there that's new to me, actually. So let me try to just cover them in what order I think I heard them and then jump in if I miss something. The landscaping strip that I referenced in the staff report, 10 feet, that would be adjacent to a loading area, could overlap with an 8-foot public utility easement. So it's not an 18-foot ask. It's a 10-foot if it's landscaped, 8 if it's not. Mm-hmm. So I think the real issue is the portion of the building, the L portion, that would be within that 8-foot. So that would definitely be a question for our public works director and our city engineer to determine if we can get away with not having a public utility easement run along that front edge. It's in our standard public works standards to do that on all public street frontages. So I'd defer that discussion until we have a better chance to talk with the people who make those decisions. As far as the loading area, I did find that the asphalt area serves as a loading area. Loading defined in our code, loading space means an off-street space or berth on the same lot or parcel with a building or use or contiguous to a group of buildings or uses for the temporary parking of a vehicle while loading or unloading persons, merchandise, or materials, and which space or berth abuts upon a street, alley, or other appropriate means of access and egress. So this is the area that the trucks come into. And I think what we're hearing is, well, the trucks will never stop. They'll keep going into the building. But that just to me feels like a really slippery slope to say, well, if someone sees your truck idling there, it's a code compliance issue and you got to come in and put your landscaping in. So I just want to make sure we're not setting ourselves up for some problems by talking about how it could operate versus how it will operate. And what, you know, and the other thing we have to really consider is longevity of the building. Once we make the approval, it may not always be occupied by this business. This business could expand and need something 10 times bigger and then sell this space to someone who does load in the asphalt area. So I just want to be mindful that we're making sure we're meeting our code requirements. And I think we can here. Yeah. I just want to be mindful that we're doing that. As far as the widths of the driveways, what I heard from our city engineer was that they totally understand that a wider than standard driveway is probably going to be what's needed here, but they had expected to talk more with the applicant before a submittal and hadn't had that opportunity. So I think that those conversations can and should happen. I think everybody's open to those. We just didn't have a chance to do that. So did I get everything?
The easement.
Oh, yeah.
Public utility easement. Yeah. I think that's ultimately Darren Canaproli, our city public works director's decision. I mean, I think we could definitely have the conversation.
Okay.
Signage. I have not seen anything on signage. I could not venture to talk about signage. I haven't seen a proposal of any kind. I don't know if No, I don't know if freestanding signs, wall signs, that the code is really clear on that, and we'd be happy to review that. And you don't have to have that reviewed as part of design review. A sign permit is a separate permit. So you can bring that in at any time.
It can actually, the sign permit actually goes through the city administrator.
Right.
Which the last sign the city had was for the Gladstone Mercantile, and that went through Ms. Betts. Yeah.
And actually, I am reviewing those now. So I reviewed the subway sign. I'm helping out with that. But if there was any issues, of course, I would speak with the city administrator.
May I ask
a
question?
Yes.
One question regarding the loading zone. I've seen your vehicles around, and I assume they fit in there. Are there situations where Dunaway might be blocked by loading vehicles sitting there? Down the road, you get larger vehicles or something. Is there any traffic impact that you think might come up from large vehicles idling?
You know, honestly, it would be really hard for me to say no to that completely. Mm-hmm. The kind of vehicles I will be using are more like a U-Haul kind of
and then to
two-wheel box truck, if you will.
Sure.
But every now and then, even at my other building, we have a delivery that comes from someone. And just like the pizza place next door, they would probably would have to be out in the street for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And I want to clarify something that, because I can't give an impression of false statement. We're not pulling vehicles into the building like trucks. They're actually going to stop at those doors and unload with a forklift. So they will be parked there for a little while in the driveway thing. In the paved area. So we're not pulling them in to unload them. I don't know where that came from.
So, well, I got kind of to my point. So they fit, I guess, in the...
The box trucks we use will fit in there.
Sometimes there'll be larger vehicles.
In that driveway space, correct.
But I don't want to start this by giving you false information.
Building.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a clarity.
Okay, so please speak in the microphone. Okay.
Sorry. So we're looking at that loading zone, which is basically that hatched area between the blue and the purple property line. Mm-hmm. You see the stipple?
Yeah.
So I think we're all agreeing that that's what we're talking about as the loading area.
Sure.
Is that we're on the same page?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, if we put in a landscape strip from the very tip of that L
mm-hmm.
all the way to that driveway, right, where the yellow is.
Mm-hmm.
So we put in a landscape strip there. We leave the drive aisle the way the owner needs the property to operate.
Mm-hmm.
Are we also basically putting in asphalt also? Is that the other requirement? So we can't do gravel because Greg was hoping for a gravel surface. And I'm trying to raise the question now, even if we can't get an answer of if it's really loading, do we need a asphalt surface? And will that strip that landscape strip I tried to describe, is that what everybody has in mind? Is that a good question? Is that a...
I agree that that is the loading area in question. And I, in my mind, that is the landscape strip, which is why I was thinking, well, you know, depending on how much, if at all, this driveway narrows, it's not a big landscape strip, but it's something to separate the sidewalk. I think it's like
40-ish feet.
Well, and in addition, I'd like to see a connection from the sidewalk to the front door. Right. So then you take out 6 feet from whatever that is as well.
Right.
So, yes, and that 10-foot deep strip would count toward the overall site landscaping requirement as well. So it kind of helps you in that as well. But as far as the surface area, I was just pulling up the parking and loading standards so I could refresh myself. But I do believe I put them into the staff report.
Yeah, I was just looking for that.
Yeah. Just 1 second.
All the pieces on the discussion. Are there any other pieces we need to discuss?
So areas for standing and maneuvering of vehicles other than for the off-street parking and storage of truck, tractors, and or semi-trailers shall be paved with an asphalt and or concrete surface meeting city standards.
Okay. So we need a hard surface.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly a landscape strip in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go talk to Public Works about the drive aisle,
mm-hmm.
or both. I should say both drive aisles.
Both, yeah.
And we're going to talk to Public Works. I'm just kind of reviewing, so I have it in my head.
I understand. You're getting it in your head so you can say, okay, let's start designing.
Yeah. And then the easement, we're going to talk to Public Works. And then the landscape, other eight bigger landscapes, so I misinterpreted how everything was going to lay out. I'm looking to Heather because I'm...
Yeah.
Well, we just need to confirm 15% of the overall site.
Well, we have that.
So, yeah.
We can get to 15%. Of
I think so,
that,
too.
Yeah, that's one of our easiest problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just trying to fit everything in and make this a functional business. And like I said, I always start with what people want mm-hmm. to make it work and then go through and try to figure out if it can, because why should I be the one who says no? I'm trying to get him to what he wants. Okay. So that's why I draw this, because it best describes how he has to function as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So, which kind of makes sense. And then the other thing about the other house, and it's there, it's in the way of easements, it's in the way of it's in the way of all kinds of things, but it was built with a permit and it's there. So I think I've covered all my questions. Are you?
The one thing I don't think we covered was the power poles.
Yeah.
Why would they need to be moved?
Because if they are in the way of an ADA accessible route on a sidewalk, then they'd have to be moved. Yeah. I believe that's what the city engineer found.
So the city engineer came up with that as a solution to not move the power poles mm-hmm. and just move the ADA ramp down a little bit. And so, and then the crosswalk to the civic side of the street,
mm-hmm.
basically instead of being a total straight line, it will be a slight little angle to hook them up. But yeah, power poles are so expensive to move.
The problem with that issue is so far nobody has said either direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they have to be moved, or yes, they can stay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too big of an unknown, and that's why we're requesting the continuance so we could figure that out with the city.
Okay.
And this all brought up one more thing, just going to throw out. The reason for the gravel was simply a financial reason for now.
Yeah.
Pavement's very expensive. I'm planning on doing it. If I could get a delay on that somehow, which is something we could work out with the city.
Yeah.
If not, it's not the end of the world, but that's why it's written as gravel right now. I have no more.
May I ask the architect, and reading the notes here, and I just one thing that I don't know what it is, and I figured I might as well embarrass myself. Proposed road dedication. Can you explain that to me?
Up by that corner where that ADA ramp is and all there, we need to dedicate a small piece of property to make all the clearances and the changes with the sidewalks work.
Okay, good.
So it's a pretty small dedication.
Great. Yeah, when I saw it, I didn't know what that was. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I didn't know it either.
Thank you.
Right.
It's just a tight site, and we're trying to fit everything. And I have to tell you, I love the idea of a continuance, and I love the idea that we got to talk to you for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's always my favorite. Bring everybody in, find out what's not working. Just to say, not that you're saying the metal siding is going to work, but at least we had a positive conversation about it. So you get a sense of, okay, well, maybe I'll do a little better drawing to show the two-tone.
Mm-hmm.
So then you'll feel more comfortable with the building that's going in. So I really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next time you come before us, if you actually have a sample of it to bring with you, that'd be great so we could see it.
A lot across the street.
Yeah, we just walk. We do a field trip.
Field trip.
Yeah, a little field trip.
And maybe that would be appropriate. Okay. Yeah. Do you have anything further?
I don't think so. I just have to check with Mark because he's kind of my brain. Okay.
Thank you.
You good?
Do you have any other questions? Okay. I believe at this point, unless there's any other questions, I think we should.
Do we close the public meeting or just?
Well, we're going to have to decide if
we actually would keep it open and just continue it, but we would request a verbal acceptance of a 60-day extension to our 120-day deadline.
Accepted. Okay. Is that accepted 60-day extension?
All right.
Okay. Great.
And I did hear no sprinkler system, correct?
Correct.
It's not required.
No. Okay.
It's not a building that requires a sprinkler system because it's undersized.
I have to build a firewall between my building and that other building, though.
Well, on two sides, because you're close to the property line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on the back side and this along side. In the drawings, if you look at the building
Thank
section,
you.
I think I even put in the firewall.
Okay.
Sprinklers are always a good thing when you got other people's furnishings in your possession. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Something about that from fire experts and no sprinklers. My brain's a little wobbly on that one. But I understand the expense of it, and and well, where it could be.
A little food for thought. The water does more damage than the smoke. Yeah. Most of our repairs are fire suppression.
Yeah, okay. That's true. That's so funny.
I believe it.
Chair Smith, our city recorder just reminded me that we didn't get a chance to get to public testimony. So just to make sure we don't do that.
Do we have any public testimony? Has anyone called in?
I have received no requests for public testimony.
No correspondence either?
No correspondence and no one on Zoom.
Okay, and we have no one in the audience that wants to...
Okay.
So moving on, do we need to go ahead and then just do a vote for a continuance?
Yes, that would be great. And our next meeting will be December 19th. So hopefully people will be around.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion for a continuance.
So moved.
Okay. I would like you to specify the additional
60 days. I'll make a motion to extend... application
DR 2306
for a 60-day extension.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. Commissioner Langston made the motion to accept the acceptance in addition to an additional 60 days. And Commissioner Volbada, what?
The continuance of
DR-23-06, and Commissioner Volbada seconded the motion. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Volbada.
Yes.
Commissioner Langston.
Yes.
Commissioner Labonte.
Yes.
Commissioner Pat Smith.
Yes.
Commissioner Mercero.
Yes.
Chair Smith.
Yes. Your continuance has been granted. Okay, moving on.
So if I may, Chair Smith, just to close out. So we'll be in touch soon, and the more materials that you can submit, the better, and we'll be scheduling some meetings. Yep.
Do they have your notes? Do they have your findings?
They do, yes. Okay. They had them a week ago, yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward.
Thank you. Yeah.
I haven't seen you in a while. Nice to meet you. Take care of yourself.
I'm a French manager. I know, he's a
friend. Yeah, I knew there was something the way you were.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
All right. So moving on, do we have any business from the public?
I have received no requests.
Okay. Starting with Jennifer, do you have any business for the Planning Commission?
Well, I believe we discussed something last time where we wanted to bring forth...
our personal financial.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, are we, what does that consist of?
I picked up on that and I wasn't in that last meeting, but I'm wondering, we already do our stuff
yeah.
with the state and everything. And I agree with transparency and everything. I'm just wondering, at what point is it,
Are we talking who we work for, if we have vested interest in anything in town?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I could go ahead. I sat here and listened to the mayor and the whole city council do it. It's pretty
cool. Yeah. Okay. I'll follow suit.
My name's Pat Smith. I've lived in Gladstone for 42 years. I'm retired. We own our home outright. I live off the proceeds of investments, three small pensions, and I'm a partner in a small business that provides a small amount of income. I have no business interests at all, although I am a partner in a business that's registered in Gladstone. We do no business here. It's basically an office where we get mail and write checks.
I'd like to hear other people because I missed that meeting.
Yeah. Natalie Smith. I own a home in Gladstone. I've lived here for 22 years, I believe. I don't own it outright. I have one full-time job and a part-time job. I have no other business interests within the city of Gladstone or otherwise for that matter. And I'm still very much actively working. Mm-hmm. Not retired yet. Hopefully soon. Andrail?
Yep. Andrea Langston, been a resident of Gladstone for roughly 10 years, actually grew up very close to the border there, but not technically Gladstone. I work for a construction management firm that does works in the metropolitan area, all actually up and down the state and in Washington. And then I have a wife who has her own house cleaning company who works in the metropolitan area. No employees in, or no customers in Gladstone. Don't own in, only property I own is my home here. And I think that's about it.
Great. Jenny Volbida. Been a resident of Gladstone for the smallest amount of time out of everybody. I just hit 3 years. I grew up just adjacent. So this is like coming home to me. I own my home off of Angus with my husband. We don't own it outright. We won't for a few years. no other property. I have a full-time job for a fairly large retail company that aren't currently doing business in Gladstone. And if they do, that will be a very good reason to recuse myself, which I intend to do. I think that's it.
I can go then, I guess.
And then after you, let's have Commissioner Mercero.
I'm the space captain from the planet Gazunkar. I'm kidding. My name's Andrew Labonte. I've lived here in Gladstone since 2015 with my wife. We have a mortgage with a home in town here. My wife is the breadwinner. She does hospice care with Providence. I've got a couple small part-time jobs, one of which is with a company here in Gladstone, Gladstone Mercantile, where I do a little bit of property management for him. Did I miss anything there? No, sound good? Okay, thank you.
Thank you all. Oh, wait, it's Commissioner Mercero. It's your turn, please.
I have, this is Thomas Mercero. I've lived in Gladstone for over 55 years. I lose track of it after you get near a decade, so. I own the home free and clear. I have a property management business. I have one rental in Gladstone off of Las Verdes Drive. What else? I own two other rentals, and I am a treasurer for a car club, and I also am here with you in the Planning Commission, and I've been a counselor for a few years. I think that pretty much speaks for myself.
Thank you very much. Is there any other business from our planning commissioners they'd like to share tonight? Pat, Commissioner Smith?
Well, I was going to say that this is the first time I've been doing this about 5 years that we've sort of had a planning on the fly type of a meeting where, and I'm glad they came in. This is not a criticism of them. It's just this is the first time anything like this has ever been brought into us. And quite honestly, they were asking some questions that I have no idea where to go with. So it's good that they're going to pull back and move forward.
I'd agree. Good to have a little more time. If I'm going to speak from the heart, you know, I'd like to, I like the idea of a small kind of commercial district here near the city hall. But as the zoning as it is, I understand this building, could be good for local business and certainly will look nicer than the area now. That's all I've got.
I actually thought this format was very productive and informative for everyone. I think doing stuff like this is almost like a work session. Mm-hmm. And I would be open to maybe considering doing more like this because I think it would save time. Everyone would be on the same page. Also, adding to business, I have inherited some old, very old pictures and drawings from Randy Ripley before he moved. He found that he got and saved somewhere in the dungeons of City Hall. There are some that are worthy to be framed and put in the City Hall, some of which maybe after the first year I'll bring in and we can look at them and decide which ones maybe the city might help us with getting framed and either having them in the lobby or even inside here. But there are old plans and whatnot from the development of our city. So he was going to throw them away, and I said, no, I'll take them. Cool. So,
right on. That's
awesome. I do have some of the old plans, I think, and I'll bring them in to share. So other than that, that's all I have. Andrell?
No business for me. Thank you.
Jennifer?
I enjoy a work session, not only because it helps them, but it also gives us sort of marching orders as well, specific things to be looking into over the next 2 months so that when they come in next time to present, you know, we will have also had an opportunity to do our own research on, you know, the metal siding, on, you know, the drive aisles, like things that, you know, obviously need to go through other people for more decision-making levels, but it gives us an opportunity to really educate ourselves as well, too.
I learned a lot tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. On that note, how privy do you think we'll be to some of these conversations that are going to be going on?
We probably won't have much for you until about a week before the next meeting. Yeah.
Just kind of like as it rolls, I didn't know if.
Yeah. Hey, it's really tricky with Oregon land use law. Actually, I have done this work session format in a couple of other jurisdictions where an applicant is sort of early in the process and it's something really different and really, new and kind of interesting. And so they want to get the pulse of the Planning Commission if it's something they'd entertain. Mm-hmm. But once a land use application is submitted, we can't really do that very easily. And in most cases, an applicant's in a rush to get through the process and we have our 120-day window that we're obligated to maintain. Mm-hmm. So I guess I hear you because I like it too. I think it's nice to get the feedback and the back and forth, but we are limited to how many times we'll get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I think we extended that because it was less than 120 days. And when Joy Fields was here, we worked through something increased the number of days.
Yeah. Oh, 120 days is state mandated. So anywhere in the state you go, once an application is deemed complete, the city must make a decision within 120 days, and it must be the final decision, including all appeals, or an applicant can file a writ of mandamus in circuit court and force a decision to be made. Okay. So it's something we keep really close track of.
Okay. Sure. Commissioner Mercero, do you have anything to add?
I do not have anything to add. Thank you.
Okay. If we are all done, I'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
I make a motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. Commissioner Langston made a motion to adjourn the meeting, and it was seconded by Commissioner Mercero. Roll call vote, please, Tammy.
Commissioner Mercero.
Yes.
Commissioner Pat Smith.
Yes.
Commissioner Labonte.
Yes.
Commissioner Langston.
Yes.
Commissioner Volpeda.
Yes.
Chair Smith.
Yes. Meeting is adjourned at 7:34 p.m.